mein auf den Supercast.
Might need a seat. Shit. Hello.
Yes.
You sounded funny on that first bit, not really squeak.
Yes, I deliberately sounded funny.
How'd you do that then?
I can't reproduce it. Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you something had some sort of ring modulator going on there.
I don't need ring modulators.
Oh, are you still there?
Yes. Oh, who some of these people are.
Who?
Jack Chalou, Doc Brown, the rapper, Suzanne Packer.
Oh, don't know who you're talking about. Never mind.
The people in the story we're going to be talking about.
Okay. Not.
By the way, how was the Demons of the Punjab?
Well, the trouble is, it was beautiful. Another lovely historical. I liked it quite very much, but they're going to have people moaning about the religious connotations that keep cropping up in this series of Doctor Who, and the Doctor talks about faith and her faith being love or something like that. But I think the Doctor would have some sort of, you know, essentially Time Lord religion anyway. But I don't know. There's always been talk since Moffat about love in Doctor Who and love being the thing that fixes everything or whatever. So, but there's going to be moanings about it, about the you know, the religious connotations that have cropped up now this week and last week.
Are they throwing some science fiction in this one, or is it just...
There's lots of science fiction. It's very much historical, but there's combined with science fiction. It's very... I liked it quite a lot. And it's beautiful to watch. It's another one shot in South Africa, obviously, but it's...
No, it wasn't.
Wales? Oh, my God. They made Wales look like that. It's incredible.
No, Spain.
Oh, don't like Spain. No, it's very, very pretty.
Granada or Grenada, however you pronounce it.
Yes, it's very, very pretty. Okay. I don't know, is Mary on today or not?
I have no idea. Maybe she's still mad at us.
No, she said you'd be on when I spoke to her last week. Need to get closer to the microphone. Much better. Where is Mary gone? Mary, where are you, Mary?
Izzy.
She said she's going to be doing it, but I'm trying to...
Go grab her.
She's in the other one watching Strictly. Haha. Oh. Ooh. Right on. Where's Skype gone? There it is. Right then. Let's see if we can get this working. Add person. See if this works. Do 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 do. Do do do. Alexa, woof.
Really?
Hello.
About time.
Hello.
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 If I ask my Alexa to do that, will it do it, or is
well,
it
it's not. I don't think it's a skill. I the dogs were being a pain in the ass, so I just randomly said to it, Alexa, woof, and that happened because of that.
Here,
let
me try. Computer, woof.
I don't know if I had to. Alexa. Meow.
Computer. Meow.
Brilliant. So I don't need a cat for that now, do I?
So is that
we're still going off.
She actually meows or barks?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about... I think it can. She got meows. Still meowing. Still going off. Oh, brilliant. Alexa, burp. This carries on meowing.
I have a cat sitting in the chair next to me who's very confused.
And I'm in the
mind. I don't need this keyboard anymore.
Anyway, right then, let's get going. I don't think anybody else is joining us, are they? Makes things rather awkward. The effort I've put into the show this week, staying up extra late last night to do quiz questions, but never mind.
Oh no, quizzes!
A quiz?
No, I'm thinking it's unlikely to happen because there's not enough people to play it. Right then, I'm going to try and get this live thing going. So you'll have to be quiet for a bit because the live YouTube thing starts in advance. Crap! I gotta shut the door. Of me actually implementing it into Facebook, so behave yourselves. Pardon me, right.
I was about to do that and I resisted.
Yeah, so I wasn't live at that point. All right, should be live. I think I'm live. It says you're live, so I presume from that I'm live, and all I've got to do is get the link. Where's the link? Yeah, how do I get the link? And what's this one here? Is that the link? Oh, here we are. Right. have the link. So now I can copy that onto that. Oh. Eventually. And the spinning disc, the skiddy spinning multicolored disc catches up with itself. Here we go. And we're now. Oh no!
What?
You know, there's a little screen capture of before it posts the thing. It's a screen capture of me burping. So. Okay, I suppose we better get going. Let me get my page open. Sorry, listeners who are watching this, it's not because of the deficiencies, or is that the word? The uselessness of Facebook Live. We're now resorting to. YouTube Live, and it means there's a bit of a delay. It means I've forgotten to do something. Oh, yeah, here we are. I thought I'd nearly prepped this really, really well because I got everything ready before Doctor Who was on, and but I didn't. I missed a certain thing out while getting everything ready, and this is exactly what I'm doing now. So, fortunately, I haven't introduced the show, so this isn't actually properly the podcast. So, this won't actually appear on the podcast, only to the. The lovely people who watch us live. Far too much time on their hands and watch us live. Okay. And we are all ready for the intro because I'm just about to do it. And the intro. Hang on. Isabella, are you doing this or not?
No.
You said you were. Hello. Oh, there you are. You said you were doing it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Make your mind up.
I'm trying to find out what Joe Sucker's fruit.
Well, I'll do that later. Go and get a chair. Sorry for the delay, listeners and viewers. Well, actually, it won't be listeners, because as I say, this bit won't be on the podcast. Yeah, come on, sit down. Oh, do you want to put that for your WhatsApp?
No.
Want to stick it in?
It annoys me.
Right, okay, right. Hi. Okay, now we can do the intro to the show. I just adjust my microphone slightly, and there's a hair on it. I'll try and get rid of that. Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 392. I'm Adam, and I love it conceptually and actually. And here's Isabella Pearson.
It just ain't my Sonic.
Mary Lang.
Don't like being told what to do.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I always looked away at the squeamish bits.
And now, I just say, bearing in mind, sorry, Mary, bearing in mind the possibilities of having the quiz this week are quite slim, and I spent, oh dear, somebody just dropped something. I spent quite a lot of time last night, about an hour and 10 minutes, actually compiling the questions. I just had them up on the screen, and Isabella would have about, how long was that, about 15 seconds to memorise the answers before they disappeared.
Well, it doesn't matter, Isabella would win anyway.
I'm not doing the quiz tonight.
She's not doing the quiz tonight, and she just hasn't done any notes. Hence me saying that it's not going to happen. Yes?
I know suffer I wouldn't be very in the good morning.
She says she suffers in the morning.
I suffer so much in the morning.
But girls and boys, I might do it anyway because I can't really tie these questions open to next week, over to next week, because then they're not going to be relevant to the next episode.
But I'm definitely doing next week, though.
Well, thank you for that.
You're
okay,
welcome.
That implies that she liked the episode.
I did like it very much.
Okay, well, that's a little spoiler for next week. So, Mary's back.
You know what we could do, since eventually we'll come around to all these episodes again, then you can use those questions.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
That'll be, what, like 3 or 4 years from now?
Yeah. Mary's back. Oh, good Lord.
Since we're going through the journey, it's going to be part of the journey.
No.
I'll try it a third time. Oh, you try it, Isabella. I've tried it twice. If it works this time, go on.
What do?
I said Mary's back.
Mary's back!
Yay!
Hey!
Ah, they pay attention to me.
Ah, oh, Mary. Hello.
Hello.
No, it's lovely to have you back.
Thank you. I'd like to be here.
Good. Right then, so.
Why wouldn't she like to be here?
I don't know. Really don't know. Right, this week we're going to be looking at the Countdown Conundrum and have some appropriate music to accompany that.
Well, you can't say. Oh, I see.
What?
No, the Countdown Conundrum. I have some appropriate music. Here we go.
Well,
What?
Hi.
What's this important part of the countdown conundrum? Doesn't 30 seconds seem a long time when you're waiting for a little tune to play?
Yeah.
Mm. Yes, that was a countdown conundrum. Right, what do you think of that then, Mary?
You've lost me, I don't know.
Are we seriously just reviewing the
countdown? No, we're going to be reviewing the Saranga conundrum.
Is this what 20 Megabyte has come to? Reviewing
yes,
the
come
countdown.
On, Kirby.
From the way that it seems, the Taranga is, it's not the name of that ship. It seems to be the same sort of thing that St. John's Ambulance is.
Ooh.
Is it?
Yeah, it's an organization which deals with an ambulance service.
Is it?
Because
wow.
They said in the story that Taranga... runs where they're going as well.
Mm. Can we just say that in all the times we've done this show, and me personally, 391 and a bit, that's the first time Kirby's actually managed to interrupt before he'd actually pressed the play button on the episode.
That's a miracle.
It's not a miracle, it's bloody annoying.
I don't think that's correct.
It is. Normally I just pressed it and it starts going into the title sequence and you interrupt. I didn't actually get a chance to press the play button. So anyway, the episode begins.
How many points?
Oh, good Lord. None yet. Shut up. The episode begins.
Don't push your chance, Kirby.
This countdown conundrum is...
It's a very long-running quiz show on Channel 4 that has been going since 1982, which is when Channel 4 started up.
It's a
countdown.
I didn't know that, because I'm really...
A quiz show called Countdown. It's a daytime television
show. I know
show.
What Countdown is. I didn't know it was going for that long.
Yes, Channel 4 started in 1982. No, actually, 84. Oh, dear, I'm going to be told off. 1984, so it's been going since 1984. Well, Carol Vorderman used to be the original Adarapara.
You got it wrong.
Oh, it's easy to get things wrong.
Is it?
Kirby knows. Yes, and it's a very long one. Look, if you go on YouTube and
YouTube.
Search Countdown, there's so many examples of funny things that have happened on Countdown over the last...
How many
years is that?
1984. Vote for Joe Selgon
34 years? Is that right? 34?
They made fun of Countdown... in the IT crowd as well.
They did indeed.
Literally all I have to say is vote for Joe Selgon Strictly.
There was a very funny programme, 8 out of 10 Cats Meets Countdown, which they did a crossover comedy, sort of panel crossover with Countdown. It's quite a famous thing as well. But anyway, can we get back to the story? I haven't even started it. What did you say?
I just said I is confusion.
I didn't understand what you said then.
I just said I is confusion.
Never mind.
Okay.
Right then, so we start. It's basically there. It's a looks like a junk planet, and the TARDIS is parked in a junkyard. But this time
like
it's a junk planet. First
like
time for
room.
Quite a while. Yes. And of course the Enterprise has been sort of ditched there. You can just see the Enterprise. What? Beg your pardon?
I said I saw that.
Yeah, the Enterprise was obviously one of the items of junk that just sat behind the TARDIS in the picture.
Actually, what that looks like, it looks like that like a radio telescope that's broken over.
Probably is. I'm just trying to Star Trek crossover.
Now, what they should have brought the ghost of Harry Sullivan to prop rocks underneath that thing.
Wow.
Well, yeah, you're talking about them. I haven't got to that bit yet.
But, like, that junk planet looked like my room before me and my mum cleared it out today.
You're being highly exaggerational. Anyway, so TARDIS parked in there, and the Doctor and team are going around with metal detectors, which I thought was quite funny, going on a planet that's basically a load of metal, because the Doctor's looking for a specific item. But, unfortunately, while looking for this specific item... a mine is uncovered, and of course she says something that she's been saying quite a lot, as did the 10th Doctor. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And then there's a woomph, and they're suddenly in a hospital ship.
Except we don't know it's a ship yet.
All right, we don't know it's a shipyard. Now, this particular hospital ship, I absolutely love the brilliant whiteness of it because it's very reminiscent of early sci-fi.
A hospital.
It's a bit like, you've never seen a film, it's called The Space Odyssey. I think I've only seen it once, but what? It reminds me of that, these beautiful, clean, white walls, ceilings, floors, and... I know it would be like, it's supposed to be hospitals, but what now, God's sake.
To quote Arthur Dent, this is what a spaceship should look like.
Yeah.
Not loads of old mattresses.
No. Saying, I just loved it. I just loved its retroness, but they've actually managed to make it look...
It's a hospital ship, and there are only two people on it, so it would be hard for it to be, you know, very old or messy or...
Yeah, that's a very good point, Mary. You don't get a point for it, but it's a very good point, but you don't get a point for it. Yeah, very good.
Oh, no.
So they're all waking up a bit groggy after the sonic explosion. The doctor's acting a bit... odd. She just wants to get. She wants to get the hell out of there and get back to her TARDIS. But quite soon realizes that they're actually, you know, not going to be able to reverse the ship. And then we meet what's this chap called and his sister, the general.
Guy.
Is that what the bloke was called?
I don't know.
I can't remember his name. There's a bloke who him and his sister and this android, Ronan. Ronan Keating, is it?
The android is the brother.
Dorcas. Is that Dorcas, did you say?
Oh, I thought it was
Dorcas.
Dorcas,
yes.
And she's Eve.
Eve, yes.
Ronan.
Eve Ronan's
Eve
with
Cicero. Eve
yeah.
Cicero.
Yeah, and Ronan's is the android. we find out that Eve is reliant on adrenaline to keep herself from, well, dying, I suppose.
Didn't it make
you
die quicker?
Adrenaline blockers.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Well done, Mary. She's a good medic, isn't she, Mary?
Oh.
She knows her medicine.
Well,
I don't.
What?
Of course she does.
I know, it's what I said.
We all do.
Mm. I don't.
So, we spend a few minutes meeting the various crew members and cast for this particular story. And then we meet a pregnant man called Yossi. Have you Yossi?
Mm-hmm.
Like
Yossi.
Yoss. See, I'm testing you well here.
Testing them before the quiz.
It might as well be, mightn't it? Which is quite an interesting and sort of essentially comedic part of the story, the fact this chap is pregnant. And then there's a sort of a sound. Now, this reminded me of Passengers. I've said a few times that I've had little sort of memories of the film Passengers. Everybody seen Passengers?
I've seen Passengers.
I'm aware of it.
Oh, watch it, Kirby. You were told to watch it last time we mentioned it. Last time.
Referenced. Like it.
I did like
I liked it.
I did like it. That's Mary voted out 2-1.
I liked it because it had Chris Pratt in it.
That's a really good reason.
I didn't vote.
I liked it because it was just lovely. This particular scene, there's a scene in Passengers, there's no spoilers, that an asteroid or something big goes through the...
something big? That looks like our dog.
I'd say it was, shut up, an asteroid of some variety. I think it was an asteroid, a rock or something, breaks through the shields of the spaceship and basically goes into the engine and...
Eats it.
Yeah, no. Damages it really badly, and it takes quite a few years for it to start deteriorating. And of course, with this particular incidence of this creature going through the shields, very, very small, because it was small.
Stitch.
Now, I'm going to get on to the pating later on. I'm getting a bit annoyed with people being really petty in their dislike of aliens like this. Now, this is a fairly new type of alien in Doctor Who.
I didn't say I disliked it.
Oh, hang on. I've got
a
problem.
I didn't say I disliked it. I didn't really like the episode.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was recording before then. Oh, well, if it wasn't, we'll just... your mum's there. If that wasn't recording, we'll have to shut up. I don't... Just a spoiler. If that wasn't recording, we'll have to use the audio from my microphone here. So there was a slight issue there that one of the connectors wasn't actually in the Belkin properly. So just while I notice that now. but yes, where do we get up? So, yes, all right. Yes, this creature... No problem with it whatsoever. I thought it was quite
cute.
Good fun. It was a bit cartoony, the fact that it could swallow something bigger than itself. But
we're not to that point yet.
Like I know, but we're getting into. Oh, shut up! You say Tom and Jerry?
Yeah, like Tom could swallow.
Yeah, well, I know. But we don't know. His tummy might be bigger on the inside, mightn't it? It's Doctor Who.
Like a TARDIS.
I don't care. It's really
no. It's Nibbler.
What?
Nibbler from Futurama.
Okay, I don't care. I liked it. I liked the particular. Anyway, so what?
I liked it too.
Anyway, so the Doctor and, what's this chap called again?
I don't know his name.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
His name is now.
Have a
Which
few...
talking about?
The chap that gets killed first.
Estos.
Yeah. Basically, Estos fills the Doctor in on all the relevant technical information of their journey problems. And then, like I say, that there's the they get entered.
Astos.
Not in the biblical sense, by something, and then one of the pods is detached from the ship, and where are we here? And then they're able to monitor the intruder on some sort of system, and they go running after it, and the Doctor, who's still in a bit of pain from the sonic explosion. Sort of is sent in one direction and Astos goes in the other direction, ends up being conned into the other pod after being told not to, and of course gets killed basically because he
I liked it when the Doctor and Astos were arguing.
Poor Astos.
One of them goes, "You go port, I'll go starboard," and then the Doctor says, "No, I'll go," it just says the same thing, but as if she's saying the opposite.
Yes. Anyway, so he...
Also, how many people have ever been able to talk to the Doctor and convince her that what she is doing, she needs to stop? But Astos managed to get her to actually pay attention and not kill them all.
Very good, Kirby. That's a very good point. But the Doctor can occasionally accidentally kill people. There you go. Well, anyway, moving back to it. So Astos, yeah, says goodbye to... Oh, I forgot. Mowgli, isn't it? Mowgli. It says goodbye to Mowgli. Is that the one out of Jungle Book? She's very pretty, actually. I don't know. It's very strange how she picked up that Scottish accent on this sort of situation. But there you go. Very pretty girl. They're now the medical crew has dropped slightly. At this particular point, there's a mention of the Doctor being one of her doctorates being medicine, well, it is now. Everyone's gone quiet. I'll carry on then.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's a point also.
Mabley, something like that.
Yeah.
Mabley, yeah.
So, if they interfere with this spaceship, it's going to blow up. So they can't turn it around or anything like that, but they realise while going into this this sort of computer thing, they got some information on the Pating and what they can and can't do with it. Thank you for that magic. Can he keep his ears away from that microphone stand? So basically it won't kill them, but it'll eat through the spaceship that therefore will kill them. No, I'll rephrase that. It won't attack them. It's not interested in organic stuff. It's interested in non-organic things. But what we forget to say is that certain a lot of metals, although elements, some metals are slightly organic, I think, aren't they? Or they have...
I don't think we made the distinction between organic versus non-organic with it.
No, I don't know. Anyway, it eats non-organic. I mean, it would be funny if they tried to imply that it ate plastic, because plastic originates from an organic substance, doesn't it, everybody?
Yes.
Yeah, and now it's that
perhaps
that substance
the reason
is
it didn't like the sonic was because it's somewhat organic.
Yeah, but of course then it can you keep them away from that microphone stand?
Magic.
Yes, but it's ironic that obviously the plastic being beginning as an organic thing could end up killing all organic life on the planet. That's a quite interesting fact, isn't it? What's your name again? Okay, a bit like that. Yes, sir. Yes, it's the plastics issue that's quite a big point at the moment in this country. Right then. So, Graham and Ryan sort of befriend the pregnant man, Yoss.
Yeah.
And try and help him through his pregnancy. His species, only men give birth to boys and girls give birth to girls.
Makes sense to me.
And I think there's a few people watching that said, what is Ed Sheeran doing on Doctor Who? But we'll gloss past that one.
What do you mean?
Never you mind, Kirby.
Well, the thing is, the Doctor asked about Ed Sheeran last episode.
I don't know. I just Google Ed Sheeran and listen to some of his songs.
I did, after the Doctor said that.
Okay, good, right.
So I don't understand why it's coming up now.
Because that bloke looks like Ed Sheeran. I think anybody who's ginger is referred to looking like Ed Sheeran, I think, if they got a ginger quiff. Isn't that right, Isabella?
What?
Most men with ginger quiffs compared to Ed Sheeran in looks.
Yes.
Thank you. So, yeah. So now Mowgli is the boss. And the Doctor sets about a few plans to try and... hold back the pating. Because one of them, they get these sort of plasma type guns, which and then they're basically trying to protect this core thing, aren't they? The core of the antimatter sort of converter thingy, whatever it is. Because they don't want the creature to eat that. Because if they eat that, that's a big bang. Yes, Kirby.
My quote was almost going to be that entire thing about the beauty of the engine. But I decided against it.
Well, okay. Well, I quite like that particular
line. You spared us all.
Well, I quite like that particular line, but I wouldn't have liked you to read the whole thing out.
Yeah. I know. That's why I decided not to. Master?
Yes?
I don't know if you noticed this. I didn't notice it first time I saw.
Mm.
But when Mabley is bringing up the information about the Pating on the view screens, and the view screen to the right are a whole bunch of old Who monsters.
I never noticed that. Did you notice that, Isabella?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't notice it either.
Did you want to notice it, Isabella?
No.
Did you want to notice it, Mary?
Do I want to?
Yeah, that there was other old Who monsters on the other.
That'd be interesting.
You would like to. Okay.
Yeah, but for instance, I just paused it and I see a weeping angel, but there are several other things in there. I'm not going to try and find them all right now, but I will find them and post them later.
Okay. So, anyway, while guarding the core thingamajig, that's Yaz and Ronan, they managed to shoot the Pating and then bundle it into a blanket and carry it off somewhere.
Yes. As I understand, Yaz makes a reference to some football player.
Yeah, she does, but I can't remember which football player.
And he apparently got on Twitter and said, I was mentioned on Doctor Who.
Possibly, but I can't remember who the player was. Because I glossed over that bit. Anyway, now you've made me forget the next bit. Oh, yeah, then Yoss goes into labour. Like I say, this is the point in which the great Graham and Ryan go into sort of like birthing partnerships.
He keeps calling out for this thing called a birth bud. And I just wondered what a birth bud is, because they say they can't use it because they don't have the power. I wonder.
Birth pod.
Birth pod?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh. It's a place where you're supposed to give birth to babies in a more safe environment. Yeah, apparently. I've forgotten again what I was going to say. Damn.
Something that I found interesting, and just because, I'm medical and I notice these things, that when they had the drape up so that you couldn't see what they were actually doing, in the birthing of the baby, they're cutting his stomach open, but they've got the drape all the way down near his crotch. And that's where everybody's looking, is down by the crotch, even though she's got his stomach open. And I'm thinking, that drape should have been up near his head.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's just me noticing those silly little things.
But he's an alien, though, isn't he? This character, so we don't know how his physiognomy is. That's how I'm explaining it anyway. Yeah. So, and then next bit is the fact that that Eve it has to pilot the ship, and they're running out of these adrenaline blocker thingamajigs. So she does pilot the ship a little bit because the Doctor has to entice the Pating into a pod. So with this explosive device, which could blow up the ship, because they've been fiddling with stuff, and so she wants the Pating because she's realised Pating feeds off energy, amongst other things, basically. Pating eats bomb and gets a surge of what looked like pleasure, the way it was floating around with a great big smile on its face, and then she detaches the pod, sending the Pating off into space and saving everybody, but Eve dies. Sad. And then her brother has to take over the
ship,
the piloting of the ship. Mm-hmm. And of course that becomes a success, and then there's a bit of a funeral at the end, which I was just discussing with Kirby off air, that people getting annoyed with the Doctor respecting religious setups and beliefs or whatever, which I didn't have a problem with myself, but that seems to be a recurring thing.
Yeah, it didn't strike me as being particularly religious.
No, it didn't.
No, but there has been a few people kicking off about it. Of course, during this time, Yoss gives birth and names it Isabella?
Avocado.
That's the great Earth hero.
Yeah. And yeah, then of course they get a teleport back to get their TARDIS back, and that's essentially the end of the story. So I think I did rather well there, actually, 30 minutes talking about that. I nearly got 30 minutes, and nearly actually managed to do a full synopsis on the whole story, without even with Kirby being on the show. It's going to be remarkable. Now. I quite like this actually. I liked it better on second viewing because I was able to absorb a bit more information I didn't quite pick up on the first one, especially things that I thought were plot holes and weren't. I love the spaceship. Really did feel like a spaceship rather than the real dirty one we had in the second story, the sort of bashed out thing, and we had a more sort of traditional sci-fi sort of 1970s style spaceship. Again, the colour scheme, the colour palette's lovely. I'm growing to like the characters, the companion characters more and more each story. Of course, and the Doctor. I don't really mind the fact she keeps on saying, "I'm so sorry." Though we put up with it from Blimmin Tennant, so why can't she say it, Isabella?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, no, it wasn't the best ever, it wasn't the worst ever. I just sort of standard, quite good Doctor Who story. I will say, though, this is the first one that really felt like a Doctor Who story, because it was very traditional in some ways, maybe not with the religious connotations, but it was quite traditional with the spaceship corridors, you know, and all that stuff. So Isabella's
Base
never
under
seen
siege. Base Under Siege.
Yeah, and that too. We've had a few of those this series. Of course, Isabella hasn't seen any classic Doctor Who. She can't really relate to these running around corridors situations. But most of us Doctor Who fans will relate to Doctor Who corridors and scary aliens and not
Show
so scary.
Show her some of the best.
She's not interested.
Yeah, Kirby, I'm not interested.
So I quite liked it. I say not as much on first viewing, second viewing I liked it even more so. So yeah, I was quite pleased with this one, especially after the previous episode. Quite pleased with this one. I would guess the fact that Isabella's here, and she wasn't last time because she objected to the poorness of the previous episode, say that she quite liked this one. What do you think of the Saranga conundrum then, Isabella?
I thought it was all right.
Okay.
Sounds like somebody else we know. It's all right.
Is that it?
Yeah. I'm done.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. I'm going to go to bed.
No. Oh, well, so you stayed all right just to say it was all right.
Yeah.
And you're going to. Okay, while Isabella goes to bed and detaches the microphone from there, doesn't matter now because I've turned the blooming thing off. Kirby, what did you think?
I loved it.
Is that it? I'm sorry.
It was really, really good. I liked the Base Under Siege. Yeah, I know. I was one of the first people to say it's a combination of Stitch and Nibbler, but so what? It was fun. And I liked all of the techno babble in it, and I love this set. I can't believe they built this for just a single story.
Yeah,
although
that's what happens now in television.
I heard a rumor that there was a possibility that control room was the original design for the TARDIS, and then someone changed their mind.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it's too bad. I like it better than the TARDIS now.
No, I agree. Yeah. I like the TARDIS, but I like this better.
And I definitely liked it better than last week. Last week's is the bottom of my list for the series so far.
It was quite Ark in Space for me. I got a sort of cleaner version of Ark in Space, not without obviously without the Wirren, but it just sort of felt Ark in Spacey. That's why I felt it was a traditional Doctor Who story.
Yeah.
Okay. Prepare yourselves. Here's Mary.
Actually, I enjoyed this one.
Oh, my God.
It did feel more like a new Doctor Who traditional story. Not like a classic traditional Doctor Who story. And I agree. I did like the ship, but because I accepted its whiteness, its pristineness, because it was a hospital ship. So I think that the ships that are all banged up and dirty is how ships really probably will be in the future when you've got crews living on them, you know, for months and years at a time. But yeah, because this was hospital, I accepted it as all white, and I thought it was quite lovely.
Yeah.
And your news, Kirby, that this was the original idea for the TARDIS, I'm kind of sad they didn't use it, because I really liked it.
It was just a rumor that I heard.
Well, anyway, but it would have, I think it would have worked out well. On the issue of the Pating, I'm kind of on the fence. Because, yeah, it is cute and cuddly, you know, and all. And,
you would say cuddly.
When I first thought, my first thought was, oh, you know, we can't even have a scary monster, you know, until we learn more about it, how you can't even touch it and how it will eat its way through the ship and all. So I kind of liked that dichotomy of the cute and cuddly, but oh my Lord, you know, probably one of the most dangerous things that they've met out in space yet, and which presents a real problem as to how they're going to get rid of it before it kills them. So, like I said, I liked it and I disliked it at the same time. And one thing that is, I think is going to, it started here and I think it's going to grow in terms of annoying me, is now we're going to get into the backstories of the companions. And I don't mind a little backstory, but I have a feeling that we're going to get deeper and deeper, you know, into these companion backstories. And I'd rather the writing focus more on the story in front of us. And maybe some background on some of the characters that we meet in these stories, as opposed to, you know, we're going to delve into Ryan's tortured background. We did meet Yaz's family, but I have a feeling from the people that I saw in the previews for next week, we're going to get deeper into Yaz's background. And I could be wrong. I'm just picking up on that.
Master already knows, since he saw it already.
Knows, and if he wants
well,
to
there
speak,
was a, obviously we had a preview, didn't we, at the end of this episode that we clearly were going to go into Yaz's family history. So it's not a spoiler. Yeah.
And that annoys me. I don't want to know more about the companions other than a little bit. I want the writers to focus more on the story itself. But we know from the classic episodes there were always those chunks of time that seemed like they were just fillers, and that's how it feels to me when they delve into these companion backstories. But overall, I did enjoy it, and I even enjoyed it on a second, you know, second watching. So there you have it.
Excellent. So, I mean, I haven't really seen what the Doctor Who community's been thinking of it, but we do have feedback that thanks to Kirby's postings, and we also have some comments coming through on the YouTube live feed. We have Laurie Nix, message retracted. Don't know what that means. And then she says, "Yay, there you are." No, that was Lillian Robin, sorry. Lillian Robin says, "Yay, there you are. It's fun to watch live." Yes, it is. Then Laurie Nix says, "Yay, you're off." That's one for the YouTube fans.
Yay, you're bang. Yeah,
well, if anybody watching on YouTube live will have just seen Isabella's attempts to put a chair away fail dismally, and the chair fell on Magic. I've never seen magic move so fast. He's now quivering wreck.
I'll have to go back at the playback and watch that.
I don't know if I can actually isolate that clip sometime in the future.
I could.
Moving on with the thread. The thread. Wasn't me, viewers. That was Isabella. I could get animal cruelty, but that was totally... Are you right, Magic? Where are you?
Magic. Magic. You're right, son.
How far into the recording are you so I can find it later?
I'll be quiet. 35 minutes and... No, that would be about 35 minutes at that particular point. You cruel man. Right then. Where do we get up to? Yeah, the old woman with pilot's heart is a war hero. Today is Remembrance Sunday. Very good, Ian Kirk. Lillian Good says... Lillian Robin says, good point, Ian. And Laurie Nick says, I don't know what the TH means, but she says, then she says, obviously a sonic explosion is bad for your liver. And I wonder if the doctor likes the colour of it. Oh, that's kidneys, isn't it? Lillian Robin says, I like Mabley's eye makeup. The dots were nice. She was very pretty, Mabley was. Laurie Nick says, I've heard it's difficult to hold back your pating. Laurie Nick says, I am a total evil pagan, but didn't even notice the religiosity of that burial. It was just a sign of respect. And then Lillian Robin says, I'm an atheist, and I had no problem with the paying of respects. And then Laurie Nick says, poor puppy.
Poor puppy magic. Cool, I'll
sort of put that chair away a minute so we can... When we have some more audio feedback, I'll put the chair away from... Before we come on to the proper feedback where people send it through the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook email feed, which is 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, we'll have a look, see what came through on Facebook. All right, then, let's see what Kirby wrote. Okay.
Said, try not to think of Stitch or Nibbler, but rather look at the cool-looking ambulance ship and pregnant man.
Okay, Lillian Robin says, I thought the episode was fun, enjoyed it tremendously. Joshua Dybal says, strange episode for me. The first time I watched it, only 2 out of 10. Was falling asleep halfway through and concluded it was awful. But second time around, it jumped to 6 out of 10. I even watched it a third time and settled for 7 out of 10. It's a grower. It's fast and furious story which demands your concentration. I agree with that. Love the ship. Love Astos too. The baby naming scene had me in hysterics. Graham and Ryan's reaction to on hearing the name Avocado, priceless. Too funny. No, this one turned out nice in the end. A grower, that's what I just said. So, yeah. Jeff Waddle says, I was completely the opposite. Oh, that's interesting. He then says, they should have said the medical facility was the Bial, or a wetter, whatever it was called, from the Invisible Enemy. CGI prawn would have been better as well. I disagree, Jeff. Laurie Nick says... By the way, the look of the cutie patootie monster ruined it for me. Obviously, they want to sell plushies and toys, etc. I don't think you'll see any toys of this. You might see people making them, though, and bringing them along, as cosplay sort of situation, especially with Mowgli's makeup. Anybody can get dressed up in a white costume and put a few dots around their eyes and then carry the pating with them, and that's a great cosplay, isn't it, Kirby?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep.
Jeff Waddle says... On this roller coaster season, Doctor Who is back because Chibnall didn't write it.
Jeff.
He wrote that episode.
He did write it.
Yeah, he did.
He wrote that one, I'm afraid, and it was just him. Yep. Okay, so that's the end of the. That particular. See, anybody else has come in. Nobody else is feeling any sympathy for Magic. I'll move that chair in. His ears have just cropped back into the shot. I'll just move the screen down a bit so any viewers want to see. So he did survive. There he is. And he sat there next to the doorstopper fox, which Deb bought to keep the door open when Asda deliveries come. Asda is a company owned by Walmart, a supermarket in the United States of America. Moving on. Oh, yes, feedback. Yeah. We're doing feedback.
Staggering Stories podcast has one of their co-presenters, they've nicknamed Asda Man because they met him in Asda.
I should called Debbie Merrill's post office woman because I met her in the post office. Now she's working for the post office again. All right, then. She's not, by the way, listeners, Melrose fans. Mrs. Melrose has been suffering from her illness that is increased when we get bad weather. We've had a lot of rain recently, and it's playing havoc with her health, so that's why she's not here. Bless her. So, obviously,
it's England. Of course you have rain.
Yeah, it was a bit more rain. This last few days, we had a horrendous amount of rain, showers and what have you. Right then, so we've got some feedback come through. What, this one here? This is from Tom Melrose. Gold. The Countdown Conundrum Review. Oh, no, the Saranga Conundrum Review. Boring. So far, this was the weakest of the series. It was a bit of a generic running down the halls episode. With the new team starting to gel over the last few episodes, I was starting to expect a bit more from this group. However, in this one, they fell back on old tropes. Whilst the running down corridors bit is being in peril, can be fun, I felt the danger was not as exciting or as spooky as it could have been, with the reveal of the baddie being very underwhelming. I had expected something more than a small cute creature. I was more reminded of the adipose from the previous episode. Debbie will no doubt fill in here. No, she won't. which one that was.
That general saying that one of those patings destroyed her entire fleet doesn't make it dangerous sounding?
Well, I agree with you, Mary. Than any great and horrible monster. Cute and deadly, don't do it for me. The supporting characters seem somewhat forced, the dying hero and the family, though I bizarrely liked the android, but then I don't like many humans that much anyway. The pregnant man, shock, aliens are, well, alien, as well as the handsome doctor. The unsure junior doctor all just filled in space. Apart from the few good lines and an interesting exploration of Ryan's past, he and Graham were reduced to classic fish-out-of-water fillers during the birth. The writers, that'd be Chris Chibnall, might as well have given them a cigar and sat them in the corridor to waffle, which in retrospect may have been better choice than the chemistry between Ryan and Graham has been the highlight of the series for me. Jodie's doctor seemed to stutter here, with nothing new being developed apart from a bizarre liking of a war hero. I was still under the impression that the Doctor didn't like violence, guns, etc. from the time that they were in the underground car park and Ryan picked up a rifle during the Ghost Monument. Is this a new direction or simply the Doctor's vanity from being recognised? Will we see a change to a more violent Doctor, or will this be forgotten? I enjoyed the show in a I'm still looking at my phone while I'm on the while it's on kind of way, and I have hopes that next week the exploration of India does at least touch on some of the legacy of the British Raja, as well as a decent baddie. I will give it a pass, as there were some good moments and some great lines that made me laugh. But they will need to pull it up and keep the crowds happy. And there you go. That's Mr. Tom Melrose, everybody. Rather poorly read out by me.
Ooh.
Yes, sorry about that. I'm not very great at reading. Because it's a text, it's small, and my glasses, are the very furcles do have a... right then.
Excuses.
Right, I've got some audio feedback come through.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabyte, it's Andy Lee here. It's quarter to eight on Saturday night. Just had the disappointing loss to New Zealand by England by a point. Cracking game, but yeah, they're getting so close. Anyway, I've had a bit of a binge watch the last day and a half over three episodes of Who. Starts off with Rosa. Now, this apparently has been a quite controversial episode. People saying, oh, he's pushing the PC, correct message again, he's brought the woman, me a doctor. Sorry, how far can you miss the point by? What this is all about was a famous point in history, a world changing event that somebody actually wanted not to happen. How many of the people, when that guy turned up, thought, that's Captain Jack, or something like Captain Jack, you know, given the fact he was a prisoner and things like that? But yes, this is the whole point. What it was, for some reason, somebody wanted to change the course of history, and this was an event that was cataclysmic. You know, made people realise, you know, black, white, colour, it doesn't matter what you are, you know, you all bleed the same red. You know, no Was it Kennedy said there's no black white colours on the graveyards of war, but that's what the book was all about, and how the Doctor and the TARDIS team seem to be calling Team TARDIS, that's it, of course, seem to be calling themselves, how they dealt with it. And I thought it was very clever, because what you had was somebody who was ahead of them all the way through, trying, you know, moving on, you know, changing the bus driver's rotor, vandalising the bus, putting the signs on the buses to say, no, the buses aren't running. And I thought with Ryan at the end, you know, he grabbed the gun, whatever it was, off the bed and sent this guy back in time. Now, I don't think we've heard the last of this. And this is interesting, because Tribble said, episodes self-contained. Well, yes, they are. But every one of them so far has had a piece of thing, hang on, what's going on there? These things are going to come back, I'm sure of it. We haven't seen the last of this guy. We haven't seen the side of the Tim Stent, or whatever his name was, the one before. Tim Shaw, that was it. Tim Shaw, yes. The one for the guy before. I've had a drink, Adam, sorry. I've got a glass of wine. I should have said, nice glass of Chardonnay, so cheers. Sorry, Adam, didn't hear
that. January's coming.
Best wishes, right. However, Rose, I thought, was a very good episode, because, again, it's got people talking. You know, this made the press. This has got people's attention. This is bringing people back to Doctor Who. You know, oh, yeah, we've got falling ratings. Yeah, 48 million. Yeah, I think that's bigger than it was before. So, oh, dear me, there are some sad people out there. So we move on, and we move on to Arachnids in the UK. What a great title. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, people of a certain age will know Anarchy in the UK. The younger people won't have a clue what it's all about. Now, I was disappointed, because having lived in Sheffield for 4 years in the 80s as a student, I thought I might see more of it. There's some of the bits about the park flats. I remember those being built. And yes, when you went there, you had to be aware of low-flying televisions, because they weren't exactly the most lucrative of places. They then got refurbished when the World Student Games were in 91. Apparently, these days, they are actually quite nice places to go and live. So not sure that they have massive spiders there, so you might understand. Cheeky little number, that, isn't it? Now, this one, yes, I'm not great at the spiders. I'm not the slip or the spinner one. I'm more of the, get the little pop, put it over its lighter, beam underneath, and then out the window they go. So when Ryan and Graham did it with it, basically a massive sauce with a lid, that's, I could appreciate that. That was quite good fun as well. And also, I mean, this was going back to the Green Death, wasn't it? Where the poisoning the earth, this having effects on the species of the earth, and obviously that laboratory. They'd sent some of the waste there, so there will be some probably not quite dead spiders. But again, this has left things hanging. Where did this go? What can happen to that hotel? You know, is that hotel going to still open? How are they going to do that? Because Chris North and Dawn, oh dear me, I mean, Chris North, I mean, Dawn watched Sick in the City and Mr. Big, oh, he was, but I won't quite say what she said, because this is, I think, a family show, but I'm sure he can work it out. You know, she was at, she quite likes him, shall we say. But again, I think this is a clever story, because it worked on so many levels. You have the basic alien of some kind, although it's, you know, it's a homegrown alien, you've liked that, that was up against the Doctor and the TARDIS crew, and how they dealt with it. But also, it's the hidden agenda behind it. You know, is this going to be a PC correct Doctor? Well, I don't really care, because so far I'm enjoying the stories. And if they want to push an agenda like that, well, that's the world we live in these days, isn't it? People are so much more environmentally aware, you know, about what's going on. There's so much more acceptance. You know, we have, you know, not just, you know, it used to be race, colour, creed. Now it's sexual identity. People are so much more open, and it's an ever-changing world we live in. So why shouldn't Doctor Who reflect that? That's what I think, you know, the people saying, oh, they're pushing the PC agenda. Sorry, you're missing the point. Have a coffee, wake up. Then we came to the Saranga identity conspiracy. I just watched it now. With the pregnant man, I had a chat with not my vicar, but the vicar of the playground, say exact two, on a Saturday morning, Friday morning even. And he didn't like that at all, because men being pregnant, but yeah, why not? I mean, the bit that got me was, well, there's nothing for the baby to come out of, so how did it get in, you know, shall we say? Yeah, I don't want to go too far into that, because again, this is a family show. But I enjoyed that, and what I liked was, well, again, I mean, who thought gremlins when they saw that little thing?
Me.
You know, and a great way of getting rid of it. You know, blows at the bomb. And again, what I liked here was the Doctor saying, you know, what I do is I try to imagine my way out of a problem. And that's what she did. But she trusts people. You know, she's got the Team TARDIS. Each of those three people, I think this is why the big team works, each had their own task to perform. And when the baby was born, you know, I mean, Adam, obviously, you're a father. Kirby, I know you've got children as well. It's, and Reese, if you're listening, Billy, you know, you were there. you know what it's like having a newborn baby. It's the most amazing experience of your life. So to share that, and Graham obviously, we know he's had children himself. I'm saying he had children. Actually, I don't know, do we? He might not have had children. But what Ryan, again, stepping up to the mark, you know, it's something that he had to do. And he's developing and growing as a character and as a person as a result of what the experiences with the doctor. So all in all, yeah, they've not been the best. They've not been, you know, this, I don't think, other than Rosa, for reasons other than the storyline, sorry, the story writing, but near the storyline, is going to be one of those that people will carry on talking about. I'm thoroughly enjoying this Doctor. And it's, yeah, I think the fact I just said, it's the Doctor. It's not the Doctor as a woman or the woman as a Doctor. It's the Doctor. Who matters really? It doesn't matter what she looks like. It's the Doctor. And that's what it's all about. So anyway, good seeing you.
That's Andy Nunney, everybody. Thank you, Andy. Oh, hello, anybody still there?
Yeah.
Oh, you are still there. What, did you fall asleep?
Yep. I'm still here. Thank you, Andy.
Okay, right. Jeff Waddle says, completely ambivalent about it on first viewing. Neither loved it nor hated it. Didn't find it exciting or engaging, but didn't find it poor either. So watched it again. My goodness, it was awful. There was a 10-minute story, if that, and 20 minutes wasted with that nonsense of a male alien having a kid that went absolutely nowhere. We had a CGI tennis ball with teeth that was capable of eating everything, and yet there was no threat apart from the lights dimming twice. They were able to transmat people to the hospital. Why the hell did they need the ship?
What? It's too far to go.
I thought you said you'd farted for a minute. What was all that nonsense about with the doctor being in pain? And what resolution did that have? The captain had, and her brother. I only found out it was her brother's second time. Well, obviously fell asleep first time. So they were so sleazy and incestuous. Very small text here. It reminded me of that awful millionaire. What?
Make it larger.
No, I can't. It's an email. It reminded me of that awful millionaire and his daughter that in that awful Tenant finale that went nowhere too.
Yeah, that was creepy.
3 weeks in, and I loved the show and for Jodie. For various reasons, I have struggled to say which was my favourite episode. 2 weeks later, I still don't know what kind of doctor she is. And halfway through a season, that's not good enough. She had sold nothing, and she had defeated no villain. I've got to move right along here. Where's this end? I get there's coincidences all through Who and TV in general, but being transmatted out of there at the second of being blown up and being rescued the other week when transmatted into space, both by random factors, that's not coincidence, that's awful writing. I thought he liked this series of Doctor Who. I thought they made Jodie bland from the start so they could build her up to develop her character. I'm not so sure now if what we've got is bad writing or poor acting, perhaps a mix of both. As much as I want Jodie to be a success, I'm not keen on this blandness to the extent that they've been as well giving the role to Graham, as a doctor, I suppose he's talking about, as they can write for him. At least we have a run of stories while Chibnall isn't involved until the finale. And given the possible returning characters, I don't want to think about that. But
why does he think Chibnall's not involved? He's written or co-written almost every story we've seen so far.
Yeah, but apparently he doesn't think he's going to be involved much longer. But you know, he wrote, I don't know who wrote tonight's episode, but he certainly wrote this one. But it's to get a shake on, or this is another season, just like the last five, I won't rewatch. The odd episode
of Demons of the Punjab was written by Vinay Patel.
Ah, good. So he knew his subject then. But there you go. That's Jeff Waddle, who a few weeks ago was saying how wonderful everything was. So that's a bit of a turnabout there. But never mind. I'm sure I'm sure he'll feel a bit better later on in the series. Right then. Oh, yes, we've got to play this. Where's it gone? Oh, there it is.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. It's Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
The Saranga Conundrum by Chris Giblon. The tea in Saranga is silent. Is there any tea on this spaceship? It's hard to tell because it is silent. And an earthly child, the very first Doctor Who story, ends in a junkyard.
Oh.
This story begins in a junk galaxy.
Thank you very much.
This mm-hmm. must be making fun of our throwaway society. In the far future, there's a galaxy with planets covered in junk. Yoss, the pregnant man, is an alien, a Gifton. But I suppose the medical crew are human, because they measure time in centuries like we do.
Ah.
I don't think there is any point in making antimatter on the ship. You would end up with a bit less energy than it takes to make. The idea would to be make it in a factory, then load it into the ship as an intense store of energy.
Ah.
The Doctor finds a Slovene Furby. You can't touch it, but you can wrap it in a piece of cloth. In space, you have to know where your towel is. The starbase that runs this space ambulance is willing to blow it up if something goes badly wrong with it. Seems a bit harsh.
Mm-hmm.
It seems strange to have a self-destruct device that can be easily removed. Can you have a self-destruct device without Major Roddenberry's voice? The TARDIS crew were rescued from certain death by a spacecraft. Again. No more Chibnall until the finale. Bye for now.
That's always, Chibnall's getting a bit of grief at this on this episode, isn't he, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting a little bit disappointed by him, particularly with that spider thing.
I'm a little bit disappointed, but not. I didn't expect anything major from Chris. I think I'm enjoying the series, so it can't be brilliant all the time. I'm not hating his writing. But I'm just quite liking the way that Doctor Who's ticking along at the moment. We can't expect miracles, because there were certain people who didn't like certain aspects of the RTD era. And without that era, we wouldn't still have Doctor Who.
We still have not had anything happening to the antagonist in all of these episodes. Even the Pating eats it and goes off. The Pating could come back and bringing everyone else, like Tim Shaw, back with him.
Oh, good Lord. Let's hope not, eh? Anyway, right then, I'm just sending something to Mary while we... What was the next thing?
Oh, yes,
I was going to look see what people are writing on the feed. Right then, so, after Poor Puppy from Laurie Nix, Jeff Waddle says, my mother keeps buying me Bombay mix, and I don't like it. It's getting to be an issue. And then Lillian Robin says, is Andy busy during the recording time? He's only sending in feedback instead of being on. That's awkward. Anyway. Right. Move on. Did you get that message, Mary?
I did.
Okay, let's move on to that one.
You're digging a hole here. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
From the inevitable Alan T. Butcher, we have call the mid-husbands or Pating. Yes, hope is the right answer. You should have played your joker. Dear 20 megabiters, the Saranga conundrum is, of course, a closely studied analysis of rampant consumerism and the potency of hope as a political and social good. The Pating personifies the out-of-control forces of consumption which can threaten to badly damage the ambient economic conditions in which we live. This is intensified by the microcosm in which the characters are placed in, as their options to control their situation are significantly prescribed by remote forms of control they cannot access. This clearly mirrors the contemporary political outlook of many today. The pregnant chap is a necessary and meaningful expression of ordinary and beautiful parts of life, which does and always must continue unabated through all crises. Well, that is true. The doctor is, as so often, the beacon and realization of hope, relentlessly seeking resolution to the devastating problem they are faced with, despite the limitations on their powers. She keeps trying, and despite setbacks, and eventually succeeds. The incantation that rounds off the episode ingrains hope as the central theme of the series. It should be noted that whilst some conjecture that the Pating could not have eaten all that stuff without exhibiting copious excretion, in fact, this is an alien creature whose internal dimensional properties are a complete mystery to us. This is Doctor Who, and it's about time you got used to dimensional transcendentalism. We also learn that the lady that used to work at a Holby-based casualty department lived long into the 67th century and became a neuropilot of considerable renown. Oh, so that the same actress?
Not sure. Kirby, I'll tell you.
The based casualty department?
Yeah, she was on Casualty.
Casualty, okay. All in all, the Saranga Conundrum is a highly derivative base Under Siege story. It is not, perhaps, an instant classic, but it is a solid and straightforward iteration of the story type established so strongly in the Doctor Who firmament in the Second Doctor's era. This reliance on well-tried tropes from the whole history of the show is working very well in this series, both to anchor the show in its past whilst allowing the development of the new characters and giving free rein to the creativity of new writers and other creative talents involved in the production. This story is perhaps one episode too short because it was packed with action and subplots and characters. Next up, Doctor Who in partitioning like it's 1947, or Yaz and the Punjab population. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you very much, Alan. That was Alan T. Butcher, everybody.
Yeah.
Right, I've decided that I'm not going to spend an hour and 10 minutes compiling a... I've got a bit of gas there. Compiling a quiz without actually doing it. So it's going to be Kirby versus Mary, and we're going to do it. Yes, indeed.
Mary will win.
Now, as is traditional, when we've just got two people in the quiz, we're not going to be asking who thinks who's going to win, because that would be silly.
Well, I know.
What?
I told you, Mary's going to win. I'm not ready for this. There's too many things, right. Too many niggling little things that you're going to bring up. I won't know.
Kirby, you've just wasted 30 seconds of time there. My hand was hovering over the... Oh, I can't. I've got a button over here. But I actually found the original bell while I was fixing the floor in here. I had two holes in the floor in this room, and I fixed them yesterday. And I found
the hole.
Where?
Did it fall through the hole?
No, it was by the side of my desk down the side there. I see it somewhere. I've lost it again, but it does exist. where is it? Oh, here he is. Oh,
is this the one from the Haunted Mansion?
Yeah. Haunted Mansion bell, which sounds like this. Oh. Along with, this is Laurie's bell, that sounds like this. See? Slightly different. Oh. A semitone higher.
Just a bit, yeah.
As Fawlty would say.
And a little more strangled sounding.
No, I didn't hit it properly. I'll do it properly for you. Here we go.
That's nice.
And then we got Laurie's bell. Yeah. Right then, so where's my questions? First question will be going to Mary as tradition dictates. Right, Mary. Spell. Yeah. Well, we both got jokers. Spell Saranga.
I know.
That's the question, is to spell it?
Yes.
Okay. I'll play my joker.
Hmm.
Tsuranga.
That was a good start, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How disappointed Kirby was because he didn't get a chance to do that. Okay, right. Kirby.
Master.
What long-running quiz show always ends up with a conundrum?
Joker. Countdown.
And how superfluous were those jokers?
Now, did you not notice I already posted a link to the Wikipedia article on Countdown and a little picture of from the IT Crowd?
No.
Where they make fun of it.
No. Right then, Mary.
Yes?
What planet did they start on?
Cephalon? Mm-hmm. I think this one was Cephalon 27.
I'll give you a point for Cephalon. So the point for Cephalon, but Kirby, can you get the number right?
27, like she said.
Yeah, it's 57. Yeah,
57, according to my...
No.
Oh, it's 27.
It's 27.
Oh, listen, I went on it twice, and what they call those, unless the bloke who is writing the subtitles couldn't hear properly. Well, all right, I'll give you the full 2 points, as Kirby said so. Okay, right, Kirby.
Master.
Where did the Doctor take Graham rain bathing?
The Tropics of Kinstarno.
What? I'm going to give you that one, even though it's not quite what it said on the subtitles.
I think your Stellano. Subtitle people have a
Stellano
problem.
And
yeah, you might have some sketchy subtitles.
Mm. Okay. Mary.
Yes?
Hang on, the dog's knocking the door. What did the TARDIS crew not have when they arrived? Or when they woke up, I should say, on the ship. What didn't they have?
I think I know.
I don't know. Let Kirby pick.
Go on in, Kirby.
Med tags.
Oh, that's right.
It was yeah. I didn't get that until the second watching because it was so weird with the sound at that point.
Yeah, you're right.
That was a very long answer. All you had to say was med tags. Right then, Kirby.
Master.
Where did they need to return to?
The room that they had started out in. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was called.
We don't remember that, so I'll part of the answer. Hang on, my mouse is stuck. Oh, it's back again now. Mary, do you know?
Where I don't understand the question.
Yeah, where do they need to return to?
I'm sorry. No, where? Okay. Where who had to return to?
Everybody, well.
The TARDIS team.
Yeah.
Well, they need to return to Cephalon 27 to get...
No. You know, we've got to imagine they're on the ship now. The answer was the assessment zone.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Master?
What?
Okay, TARDIS Wikia
says
both Kinstarno and Cephalon 27.
Don't give a tinker's cuff. Shut up. Right then, 2 points in the bonus pot. I think that's supposed to say responsibility. Whose responsibility was it to protect Cicero?
I know.
Go on then, Kirby.
Ronan.
2 points into your bank, as we call it. What's going on there? Nothing on. That's weird. Sorry, it would put a really weird score in there for you. I wasn't going to accept that. Okay, right then. Mary.
Yes.
Where is there a whole volume about the Doctor?
Oh, the Book of Celebrants.
And Kirby.
Master.
What race was the pregnant man?
Oh, I know.
Gifton.
Oh, I'm not going to get any of these questions right. Mary.
Yes.
What type of hospital ship was the Saranga? Or Saranga, even. What type of hospital ship was it?
It's a quad zone rescue craft.
I don't know. I thought I'd done a good job with these questions. After, what?
That's not the name of the craft. The craft does not have a name.
No.
Saranga is like Yasmin
Shut
says,
up.
Like Red Cross.
Shut up. Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Point deducted. Right then.
Thank you, sir. May I lose another?
Kirby. Where is the ship heading?
Rhesus 1.
Mary.
Yes.
Where is the one emergency suite on the ship?
The one emergency suite.
We have one emergency slip. We have one emergency suite.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kirby?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, be quiet. Being naughty, and that's a very, very naughty Kirby. Now, the answer was on the side, according to the description that was in the script. Right, there's 2 points in the bonus pot. Actually, no, it's Kirby's question. Beg your pardon. Is that right? It's your question, isn't it, Kirby?
I guess so.
Good. Well, yeah. This is your question, Kirby. Which life pod?
This is my question?
Yes,
okay.
Just listen. Which life pod did they first enter the ship? In which life pod? Oh, you know what I mean.
I'm going to guess.
Yeah, go on then.
Port. Yeah, there was a 50-50 chance of that.
Yeah, right. Right, now there's 2 points in the bonus pot for this question. What did the doctor get stuck on her neck?
Oh, I know.
Yes?
A cum dot.
Get it. Right then, Mary, this question is for you. Mm-hmm. How many tours was the ship designed for?
Oh, 100,000.
Mary. Kirby. Sorry, Kirby. Master. Easy to make a mistake. What was the general reliant on?
Adrenaline blockers.
I thought these were really good questions. Clearly not. Mary.
They are.
No, they're not, because you're answering them. Mary. Yes. Cicero was the most decorated general in whose history?
I know.
Don't know.
Kirby?
Kiba.
Kirby, why were you sitting there saying, oh, Mary's going to win? I didn't do anything.
Kiba. Right then, Kirby.
Master?
What happened to the port side life pod?
I'm assuming that's the one that Astus got blown up in.
No, it's not.
Oh, then I...
Yeah, go on in, Mary.
I don't know them all.
Mary, what happened to it?
The port side one just got jettisoned.
Word for word. Word perfect there. Right, 2 points in the bonus pot for this question. What were Astos?
It's his Astos. Name is Astos.
Yeah, Astos. What was Astos's last words? Got very quiet all of a sudden.
He was talking to Mobley. You can do it, I think, something like that.
Nope. Nobody's answering. Well, leave the 2 points in the bonus pot. The answer was, I believe in you, I always have.
Okay.
So there's still 2 points in the bonus pot. Moving around to Mary's question. What item number was the Pating on the computer?
Item 7 alpha cubed.
Wow.
I had to replay that one a few times to...
Kirby.
Master.
Why did the doctor say 7 minutes to get to the assessment area?
Oh, I know.
She needed a moment to think.
Correct. 2 points in the bonus pot. How did Ryan's mum die?
I know.
Go on, Em.
He had a heart attack.
Correct. Okay. Notice I'm keeping the scores secret.
I know who's winning, though.
Mary, your question. How old was Ryan when his mum died?
He was 13.
These are too easy. Right then, Kirby.
Master.
How many scan sensors does the ship have?
5,000.
I'll give you that, even though it's over 5,000, but I'll give you that one. Mary,
mm-hmm.
What did the doctor say summoning everyone together was like?
I don't remember.
Okay, there's 1 point in the bonus pot. Kirby?
No.
There's 2 points in the bonus pot. The answer was... Hang on, I've got to play this. The answer was a bit Poirot. Kirby's question.
Master?
What weapon did Cicero suggest they used on the Pating?
I don't remember.
Ooh, well then we'll do this. Point in the bonus pot, Mary?
Was it the phaser guns?
Not quite. No, it was a staser, but very close to it. Not quite close enough, though, unfortunately. Right. Okay. That was Kirby's question. So there's 4 points in the bonus pot for this question. What is a doulas?
Oh, I know.
Go on, Em.
It's a birth partner.
Here's the correct answer.
We use that word pretty much everywhere.
Well, there you go. Kirby should have known that, shouldn't he? Right then, Mary. Your question.
Yes.
What was 67th century technology the doctor gave to Yaz?
Well, she said it was nice, but it gets tricky in the middle, but it all turns out all right.
So,
is that what?
Nope, that's a. Kirby?
The med blanket.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought we were talking about
the Kirby, your question.
Master.
What illness did Cicero have?
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I meant to do it. Both at the same time. Big pardon. No, you got that wrong, Kirby. Yes. Mary.
It's pilot's heart.
Okay.
All right. Sorry about that.
Just couldn't remember.
2 points in the bonus pot. How long did Cicero say it took to train to pilot?
Oh, yeah.
Pardon?
I know.
Go on, Em.
It takes a dozen years.
It's the correct answer. Okay, yeah, Kirby. Kirby.
Master.
Actually, no, that was a bonus. Was that a bonus? No.
Nope.
I lost the
point. Bonus.
Pardon? I think that was a bonus.
Therefore, it's Mary's question. Right then, which woman footballer did Yaz reference?
Is it a woman?
Mm.
Okay.
Yes.
I wrote down Shaban Chamberlain.
No. Good try, though, but it's... Kirby?
I don't know.
Okay. Then that also gets a... The answer was Siobhan Taylor. Never heard of her myself, but there you go.
Taylor. Okay.
Kirby?
Master?
What was the name of the pregnant man?
What was the name of the pregnant man?
That's what I'm asking you.
I know. It took a while for them to get around to it.
What was his name?
I'm asking you that question.
I don't remember.
You don't remember. Okay, that means...
No.
And I think Mary is implying that she knows.
Yeah, they went on and on before they said it. It was Yas.
That's the correct answer.
Because I kept thinking I missed it somewhere.
3 points in the bonus pot for this question. How many points did the doctor give Yaz? It's all gone quiet over there.
Yeah, I don't know.
You could have a rough guess.
What?
No, she gave Yaz a load of some points for something other. I can't remember what. I'm not even bother playing the countdown music. They've gone all quiet. The answer was 10. Okay.
Master?
What?
I don't know who Siobhan Taylor is, but the reference was Siobhan Chamberlain.
Thank you. That's the answer I gave.
Yes.
See, I don't remember there being a Taylor in there anywhere.
Yeah.
Siobhan Chamberlain
I'll
is...
I'll give you a point for that then, right then. And I'll add an extra point to the bonus pot for my... I think it might have been just my spell checker doing it wrong. That's what I'm going to blame anyway.
I think it's your...
Your spell checker changes Chamberlain into Taylor.
Oh, be
your
quiet.
Your subtitles.
Be quiet. Write them.
Mm-hmm.
Mary.
Mm-hmm.
What number between 1 and 100 did Yaz pick?
Oh, She picked 51.
That's a correct answer. Okay. Kirby.
Master.
What exclamation did Yoss and Mably use quite a lot during the story?
I don't know.
Did who use?
Beg your pardon, my dear Mary.
Ask that again.
There's an exclamation that both Yoss and Mably used during the story.
Wow, I don't know either.
The answer was, my saints.
Really?
Yeah, really. I mean, I remember them saying it once. I don't remember it being used any other time.
There's one question left with 6 points in the bonus pot. And this is the question. How was the Doctor to travel back to Cephalon?
I never did figure out how.
So that means that 6 points is just going to be...
I can do a Mary
tiebreaker. Do you know Mary?
I know they said that they were going to send her back, but I don't remember how.
Okay, then that one goes begging then. But still, I can still ask another question. What was...
Tell us.
Oh, yes, it was teleport. They teleported back.
Okay.
Why couldn't they teleport them
That was the point that... was it Ian made? Or was it Jeff Waddle made? If they could teleport back, why couldn't they do that in the first place? But yes, she said at the end of the story, I'll teleport you back to... Unless they got more powerful teleports where they were heading, I don't know. But that's how they got back to the TARDIS. Right then, so there's still 6 points in the bonus pot. And what was Isabella's quote at the beginning of this episode?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
And finally, what was my quote at the beginning of the story?
I don't know.
I don't know that either.
Right, you are all rubbish. So therefore, the 6 points have gone forever.
What you could have asked was something like, who directed it?
No, I'm not going to do that. No, right then. So those 6 points, if I can remember to put them into the keep them for next week, I'll do that. I'll probably forget that. I haven't got the greatest memory ever. But the final scores here, and this week's, you won't get this one. In second place with 22 points, Kirby. But the winner this week with 32 points, it's Mary.
Yeah, I told you
it wasn't going like that. Yeah, well, if Kirby weren't jumping in there to help me with the answers that I had right that you thought I had wrong, it might have been different.
There's no need for that, Mary. You were much, much better than Kirby on this occasion. Right then. And it's funny that you do seem to win the one-on-one battles with Kirby and during this particular quiz.
Because I have more chances.
Wasn't it through one of these battles that he admitted that he was cheating as well in the past? No,
possibly.
So isn't it nice that you win on your own merit on this particular occasion?
Any of the ones like that from now on, I am not going to. I either cannot participate or I will just not do the re-listen to the old.
Here we go. It's funny that you still scored quite a lot of points, you know, considering you don't know anything about the episode.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything. There were just too many things going on.
Yes.
Yeah. I found a picture of the display in the hut in the ship. Showing
looking at it.
There's a Cyberman.
The silence
food, silence.
What are they? The
all Santaran.
What's that? The monster that Annette Badlands.
That one's moving in there. On.
There's a Silurian. There's a.
I don't care. Look at the picture when I see it. What I'm saying is, You've got far too much time on your hand, Kirby. Right then, let's go back to the YouTube feed. Alan T. Butcher's a yay. There you are. Finally managed to find the way to comment. And then he says, someone warn Adam, a pating is in the room. And no Garmy. The Garmy's in fact here, but unfortunately he's now scared away from his spot over there. And notice the spot's quite similar to Sheldon's spot in design. Over in the corner there. He won't go. I can't make him. I could make him sit over there for Alan's benefit. Here we go. Come on, Magic. Come on, Magic. Come here. Nothing's going to happen. Come here. Come out there. No, sit. There we go. Right, there we go. Just for Alan's benefit, he's sitting near. Oh, no, he's moved forward again. There he is. He survived. The Garm is in the room. Right, then, we're going to go Doctor Who news. Now, this is a lovely bit of news for fans of Lavazzi items, because it also is a good news for me, but it means I can kill two birds with one stone. Lavazzi have released some Christmas items, or releasing some Christmas items. One is a particularly attractive Doctor Who Christmas jumper, which I will be getting. Deb has already said, you must get that, because your old one is wearing out. Well, it isn't wearing out. It's a bit fluffy on the front, because it did get a lot of use. But it's a beautiful black Doctor Who Christmas jumper with Daleks, TARDISes, snowflakes, and it's lovely. And Melinda's been very kind to post on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, and where you'll see links to this and also a discount code for getting. Oh God, I've lost my page now. So go to Lavazzi to get your Christmas jumpers. And also go to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group where you can get that discount code. And also there's a link to the page when it opens. There's also Pandorica opens gloves now. If you're in Britain at the moment, they're probably quite a good idea buying those. And the Christmas We Will Survive Dalek scarf. Oh, no, it's a Cyberman scarf. Sorry, it's a Cyberman We Will Survive scarf. So cool. All available. New items from Lavazzi. Of course, where you can also buy your traditional, you know, Doctor Who scarves. There's also Lethbridge Stewart, The Laughing Gnome, The Danger Men. It's a book, I think. Is it? About the Brig and his cronies. And loads of stuff there. There's pictures been released from Demons of the Punjab, which is our review story for next week. I've got some news about our recording time for that particular story, which isn't going to please the people who are currently sitting the other side of the pond from me.
Oh, no.
Well, I'll explain later. I'll explain later. There's no way around it. I can't help it, but I will explain. But yeah, lovely pictures. It's such a beautiful episode. What?
We're recording tomorrow morning, right?
Even if you don't like the episode, and I hope you do, because it's a really good episode. There is a trailer, but we've seen it before, so I'm not going to play it again. The Doctor's Villains, Koch Media, unfortunate name, has released the latest in its series of interviews with the stars of Doctor Who. You don't have to listen to that, because we have the stars of Doctor Who on this show, if you listen to our special on the Island Con, the last ever Island Con. That was on last week. Arachnids in the UK official viewing figures 8.22 million, despite it being rubbish, everybody. It's 8.22 million. The last few seasons of Doctor Who we've reviewed, it's struggled to get up to 6 million, so amazing.
Yeah, but I what I'm interested in seeing is the one, what were the viewing figures for the Saranga? Because if people were, you know, a lot of people tuned in to Arachnids and then were turned off by it, then did they tune in to see the next one, the Saranga?
That's a good point. We haven't got those figures as yet, but I will just report that Arachnids in the UK's 8.22 million actually beat Coronation Street. So good. Ooh. On Doctor Who. Yeah, Coronation Street had 7.86. Yes, go on in. Whatever your name is.
Saranga Conundrum, 6.12 million.
And that's before adding on all the downloads and streams and stuff, yes?
I guess.
I hope. But we did have a dip from the previous episode to Arachnids, actually. So, and that was quite a good one, if I remember. I think it was called Rosa. Right, so That's Doctor Who news, I believe. I don't think there's anything else for me to report. Wheel in Space animated mini episode. I don't remember reporting on that last time, so I'm going to talk about it now. The Paternoster Gang return to Big Finish. So that'd be quite a good one to listen to, wouldn't it, dear Mary?
They've never done a Big Finish recording yet, so yeah. This would be the first one.
Yep. And it says, I'm reading what you said about the Saranga conundrum. 6.12 million, blah, 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 blah. Well, those aren't the final figures, he said, hopefully. But anyway, we'll see what happens. So that's Doctor Who news. I'm not going to talk about Lavazzi because I already have done. That leaves us with the good old faithful whoone.co.uk. Is that whoone.co.uk?
Is that whoone.co.uk? Sorry, I was distracted.
Clearly. Right then, so the annual, the Doctor Who annual. Ooh, cool.
You shouldn't have said anything. Then you could have caught me.
No. Oh, the phone's ringing. The new Doctor Who annual in 2019. I don't remember. They're releasing a lot of annuals these days. That's available to buy for £7.99 from whoone.co.uk. The TARDIS Type...
whoone.co.uk?
The TARDIS Type 40 Instruction Manual. That sounds like a very cool book. Is available to buy for £14.99. That must be fun, that book. Of course, the Doctor Who magazine 531 and 530 and Good Doctor stories and stuff like that also available from Doctor Who book experts, whoone.co.uk. We've got coming soon items. We've got some Big Finish stuff like An Ideal World. We believe that's a first Doctor story, obviously voiced by a different actor, along with Entanglement. Eighth Doctor's Doctor Ravenous 2, which I think is a series, because it's £40, and Combat Magics, which is a 13th Doctor story, and the Dalek Audio Annual, £13.99, along with loads of other fantastic things with the 13th Doctor Mr. Man books, all available for Who Won. So there you go, that's the Who Won.
Well, let me speak up on a little news.
Oh, yes.
I can. Not this week, but the next week is Chicago TARDIS.
Oh, yes. And you're going to take the microphone with you.
And some of the guests are Pearl Mackey and Jenna Coleman. And they just announced Tony Curran. Remember, he played Ben... John Davey, which I know was at your... Island con.
Very, very naughty John David. Very, very naughty man. But yes.
I think I'm going to sign up to be at his table for the brunch because he'll be kind of fun to talk.
He's a very good orator. I take it you heard the stories apart from his naughtiness, the Island con naughtiness, which is very disappointing because obviously I couldn't get there on the Sunday and he was there on Saturday and then he was naughty on Saturday night and wasn't there on the Sunday. So that's all I'm saying on that matter. But... he turned up. He phoned me up on the Friday saying he'd left all his pictures at home in Somerset. So I said, well, I can get around that problem. I can print them for you. So I had a limited amount of paper and ink left in my inkjet, printed a whole lot of stuff off for him under instruction. But he didn't actually describe the pictures he wanted clearly enough, and I printed off some of each one, but not the one he wanted six copies of, because he didn't... It was a misunderstanding with the name. He wasn't moaning about it, but... But then, of course, he was a very, very, very naughty man. I'll tell you about off-air on the Saturday night. But, yeah.
They're also going to have Fraser Hines and Rosie Jane. She played Pearl Mackey's mom.
Friend of the show, briefly.
Yeah, she really...
Yeah.
Yeah, she was at Island Con last year, and I got my picture with her and had a very brief interview with her. I tried to have another interview with her, but she got a bit funny, so I didn't work out.
Okay.
She just sat at her desk reading scripts. That's all she did for the whole weekend.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, carry on.
I got the news that I'm going to be not just on panels, but I'm going to be the moderator of two panels.
Wow. Ooh.
One is on the classics series, which when they wanted to know, like, what are your credentials? And I said, I do this podcast with, these people, and we've been looking at the classics series. So I guess that they like that. And then the other panel is on Big Finish.
So, of course.
Right up your street in both both areas there, Mary.
I'm sorry, what?
Right up your street in both areas.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what she said.
So it'll be interesting.
There will be, especially when you take a microphone with you and record some interviews with people. Well done. Good girl.
They have a thing against that.
That spoils sports. Okay, right then. The live feed, we have Alan T. Butcher. Oh, Lena Robin said, hold on that one. Alan T. Butcher says, Saranga got the exact name, same proportion of a similar audience due to Firework Night. And then he says, the TARDIS book is great. And then he says, Chicago TARDIS, Vectis TARDIS. Yeah, he's trying to come up with a name for a potential Doctor Who convention that I might be attempting to initiate, shall we say. That's a word, isn't it? Initiate. Long way off actually having it, but it's in my mind, and it's something I will be looking into doing, but I'm not going to do anything that's going to cost me money because I can't afford it. But I'm not going to turn my back on the opportunities if it does come about. So watch this space.
You ought to import some American fans to come.
I've just said to you, we're going to have to run it on well, I didn't actually say this, but it'll be a shoestring budget, basically, all done on earnings from the, you know, people buying tickets or buying stalls to sell stuff, and hoping get some favours off a possible places to stage the event to get it cheaper. I'd rather do it in a hotel, to be fair, simply because you can say to the hotel, well, this is October, November time, when you're quite quiet, you might fill up some rooms here and hopefully get the price of the event down that way.
That's something I've been wondering about the Isle of Wight, because they've had, you've got lots of tourists, but I never hear anything about hotels and convention facilities.
There aren't any, because we don't have a lot of conventions, but on the Cowes Enterprise College, where Island Commons Bay was absolutely fantastic, but it's too big for a starting out convention.
But you have people coming over for, like, the Isle of Wight Festival. Where do they stay?
All sorts of places. They normally camp at the festival. That's what festivals are.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The massive camping site. Most of the festival site itself, is the campers. It's huge.
Had no idea.
Well, you should pay attention. So yeah, so
when I'm old and decrepit, I'll come over there and visit.
That'll be now then, yeah. Kirby. Yes. Right. So though we're talking about that convention that I'm going to try and initiate. The name that was decided, came up with three. My favourite one was Convention of the Daleks, but then I was told you're not allowed to use the word Daleks in the name. It's a bit of a shame because that's a really good name.
Was good.
The what?
Doc X. Remember your misspelling?
Point deducted for that one. Thank
you.
But the one that we're going to go with is Lord of Time, or Lords of Time, depending on how I decided word at the time. And the good reason I like that particular name is because I'm going to use the Time Lord headdress thing and have Lords on the one side, of in the middle, and Time on the other side, because it looked quite nice as a little logo. So that's one reason for having it, and we might add the word Doctor Who Convention or the 20 megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Presents or something like that, but it would mainly be called, if it happens, Lords or Lord of Time. Isn't that a good name, everybody?
Yes. I believe I said so by posting a link to the Fires of Pompeii, where Evelina says Lords of Time.
But there's another reason why I think it's quite good. It doesn't completely alienate any cosplayers of any other genres of geekdom, because time is a part of a lot of sci-fi things and non-sci-fi and fantasy stuff, and so I mean, there are lords in Game of Thrones, there's time travel programs that, like Quantum Leap and stuff like that. So it doesn't alienate everyone, but it's quite clearly a Doctor Who subject, but you can stretch the boundaries on it. So that's why I wanted to have something like that. And I didn't want to have something that had Isle of Wight in the, you know, in the title, because not a lot of conventions specifically use the place name in its name. Obviously Chicago does, but not a lot of them.
TARDIS.
Yeah, I know, but not a lot of them do, and I don't think we need to really.
Atlanta.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think we really need to do that. I think it's about having a Doctor Who convention with a good name. Yes, it's on the island. We can advertise it's on the island. We can even put a diamond into the logo to show it's obviously the Isle of Wight is a diamond shape, and often the diamond with a little kink out the top of it is the logo from the island, a very simple logo. So we can work it in that way. You can even put the Isle of Wight flag in there somehow, but it's a long way off. But that's the foundation of it is its name, and the fact that it'll be here in Cowes, and I won't have it anywhere else. It's going to be in Cowes if it happens. Wouldn't be nice if it had some sort of investment in it, because I've heard that CGI Con, which is what some of my colleagues at Island Con are putting together for the cosplayers, already has somebody prepared to pay for it, which is nice, isn't it? So,
be
not
nice
for us, yeah. Well, I don't want anyone to pay for the whole thing, but it would be nice to have some sort of, you know, benefactor just to give us a starting point, you know, even if we said to cover the cost of hiring out somewhere to stage it, and maybe the cost of a guest. And then when we start getting money in for tickets and stuff, then we can stretch it out to a couple more guests, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to go too bad on guests, to be fair. I want some, but don't want, like, I don't want like 10, 12 guests that we'd had in Newcastle that time. God knows how they afforded that. But I know, obviously, the guests make the money back on autographs and photos and stuff, don't they? I think,
yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of potential convention goers who object to celebrities charging for autographs, but why shouldn't they, you know?
Yeah.
People to pay for it, why not charge for it, you know? So.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go.
If I can't afford the autograph, I
don't
can't afford
it.
The autograph.
Exactly. It's not a massive... I'm not really an autograph person, unless I've got a picture of myself with the star. I like sometimes to get it autographed. I have got a picture of me with Sarah Sutton up there, which is quite nice, autographed by her. But most of the time I like a photograph with my celebrities. Right then, so next week I'm at a show at the Mayflower Theatre called the Sarah Millican Show. Now, I bought this ticket over a year ago for Deb's birthday, birthday for last year, but it's her new birthday's coming up in November, November in fact. So when I bought the tickets, Doctor Who was not on Sundays. So can't help that. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm taking her over to see Sarah Millican, a very funny comedian lady. And so, therefore, I won't be here to do the show. I won't even be able to watch Doctor Who because I'll be there. So
You've already seen the one we're talking about.
What?
You've already seen the one we're talking about.
Yes,
so.
I know, Fancy Pants. So I'm looking at doing the Monday morning thing. Now, I think I made a mistake with the time last time we did it on a Monday morning. I said 10 till 12, didn't I? Hello, anybody there?
That's when we normally do it.
I thought we did it 9 to 11 on when we did it on Mondays.
Well, if we do it, that would mean 4 a.m. for me and for Mary.
And for me, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So there, can you do can you do the 10 till half 11 scenario? Hello?
Which would be, 5 a.m. for us, right?
Yeah.
5 a.m., yeah. Yeah, it's so, just I can only give you an hour and a half.
Well, that's a bonus, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, and I am not working that day, so I couldn't do it.
Thank you, Mary. At least you'll just... And now, bear in mind, it can't be too long. I say about maybe I know. If it has to stretch out when Kirby goes, that's fine. But I've got a photo shoot to do at 1 p.m. that day, and I need to have lunch before that.
So we're talking the 19th?
19th of November, where we'll be looking at the thingamajig Punjab, whatever it was that we just watched.
What was it called?
The Punjab thingamajig.
Yeah, but what was it really called?
I haven't got my something about Punjab.
Demons of the Punjab.
That's the one.
Demons of the Punjab. Okay.
Not great on titles. That we'll be looking at that next week after having watched. Obviously, I'll have to watch Doctor Who when I get back from the theatre, which will be quite late at night that day. I'll probably fall asleep, actually. So, Kirby, yes, you were about to say.
I'm going to put in an hour and a half for you.
That's very kind of you, Kirby. But if you can,
aren't we blessed? Aren't we?
Yes, but I'll probably have to I might have to nip out to do some. Oh, Debbie might be able to come into the house if Isla's at school or something. So maybe Debbie can come here and sit, mind the fort if I have to go and move Deb to one of her customers.
Oh, I'm looking at our calendar, and I see that on that Wednesday we're going to be ordering takeout Chinese because we're not cooking Thanksgiving Day dinner anymore.
Not the most relevant thing to say in regards to a Doctor Who podcast, but thanks for that anyway. So
Wednesday I'll be heading off to Chicago for Chicago. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, when are you coming back?
Not until Tuesday, the following Tuesday, so I won't be here on the Sunday because the convention will still be going on.
Well, actually, you can't be bothered to do any audio stuff for us, Mary. Make sure you take lots and lots and lots and lots of pictures, and then they take lots and lots and lots and lots of pictures. Okay? I want to see them all on the 20 megabyte page. Thank you very much. All right. Anyway, so thanks everybody for watching, listening, taking part, sending in feedback to the show this week. Keep it up, and we'll see you again next time, which is just over a week away. Bye bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
By Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.